No debate here. We are back on a Wednesday morning. Fesco, Dusty, Mac. This is 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty. Damn, glad to have you on a Wednesday. Going to be 89 degrees.
Oh, wow. Another nice day. Let's go. Get outside and enjoy it, right?
That's right. That's right. Good day to get your feet out and underneath you. Get a little walk in, a little jig.
I'm going to try to get 5 miles in today, Dust Man.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
I did that on Monday. Felt pretty good.
It's like a 5K and a half.
I was trying to figure that out. 5 miles is how many Ks? I think it's like
it's
eight,
almost
maybe.
No, because 3.2 is a 5K.
3.1 is a 5K. Yeah. 6.2 is a 10K.
Yeah, so walk 6 miles and you'll be good. 6.4.
Yeah,
6.2.
Yeah, 6.2 miles.
Is a 10K.
I'm good on that though. I'm good. 5 miles. I'm good. I got to that point. I've got a friend that works for the sports commission, and he always says to me, "Why aren't you running marathons?" I go, "Because I don't feel like I have to prove anything to anybody. I'm 47 years old. If I can run 5 miles, 4 miles every other day or something like that,
yeah.
I feel like I'm in pretty good shape. My friends over at Supplement Superstore helping me with all the energy that I need, getting myself going today. So
they got a new one right down the street
from us. It's a beautiful new store. Yeah. It's funny, the guy who manages that store is my old neighbor, Blake, and we moved in, and he was like a 12-year-old kid at the time, right? And now he's managing Supplement Superstores and has a great career and getting married. And I'm like, man, I remember when you were a little kid babysitting my children, and now my children are like the age that he was, but we moved in and they're looking for babysitting jobs. So if anybody's got any kids, let me know.
Speaking of managing, we'll have the Royals manager, Matt Cotrero. He'll be on at 9 o'clock. Big win last night. The Lugo Hog was fully flexed last night against the Yankees in DeBroinks.
What a great performance by Lugo. I think he's made a case that maybe he should be on that postseason roster, don't you think?
We'll get into what that means a little bit later on, but I do want to start the show off with it's Wednesday, by the way, so there's a pretty big game with pretty big implications Sunday, Chiefs-Bengals 325 with your guy, Tony Romo and Jim Nance.
Look out, Jim!
And
I'm glad I'm going to be at the game. I don't have to sit through Tony Romo this weekend.
You taking the Sailor's hat?
I may take the Sailor's hat, yeah.
You should rock the thing anytime you possibly can.
I think I'm going to, yeah. As soon as the cameras start working in here, I am breaking out the Sailor's hat. So I hope it's either Thursday or Friday of this week because it's time to go.
There we go. But I think there's implications on this game that maybe I'm getting into the, way too ahead of myself. If I am, that's fine. Also, don't forget, I need to get into this real quick before we do that. We do have our weekly poll up.
Mm-hmm.
Our poll this week is pretty simplistic. It's not very, hard to figure out.
I'm sure somebody will debate over it, though, whether or not they want to click yes or no to this one.
It's at the Fan 96.5 on X. Should the NFL and college have games that start at 8 a.m. and 9:30 every week?
Mm-hmm.
Yes or no?
I think this should be an overwhelming result of yes. I mean, I don't understand why you would vote no in this. This is one of those polls where I look at the two choices, yes or no. And if I'm like, whatever, I'm not going to vote in this, I'll just kind of move on. But if I'm yes, I'm going to vote in this poll. I think you want these games to be played early on. You'd like to have these. I like EPL league games when I wake up at 7 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday or Sunday. I think that's good to have, right?
Yeah. And I was telling Mac this because he does the fantasy football show at 9 o'clock on Sundays here on 96.5.
People have to start at 8 if they had a 9 a.m.
No, don't do that to him. But he gets to give you in live, action. You can kind of start on Twitter. You can reach out to Mac and find him on X and be like, "Hey man, there's a game at 9, but it makes the day that much sweeter. We'll talk a little bit more about that because a college coach had an idea that I thought was genius, and I normally don't agree with this guy, but
But if you don't think the game should be at 8 or 9:30 because you got other things to do, that's on. You don't have to watch, right? Just because games are on doesn't mean you have to watch or pay attention. But if you put them up there for everybody else to enjoy, why not, man?
Everybody does what you do on Saturday and Sunday is, I guess, the narrative there. But
yeah,
Chiefs and Bengals Sunday at 3:25. I saw a few things that give me a little bit more comfortability when it comes to this game. One is the video that was out yesterday that I know is you can't always, take something for granted or, think it's the obvious. But boys, they showed a video of Joe Burrow yesterday on the net of him constantly fiddling with the biggest question we've had all offseason, which
wrist.
Was, is the wrist okay? Yep. And watching this video, I watched it 3 times on the John, if you need a picture.
That's how you get hemorrhoids, though, man. I've stopped. My hemorrhoids have cleared up.
Or by playing baseball. And I thought it was interesting because I'm kind of watching the first time go around, you know, not really, you know, going through it, you know, very particularly. And then I'm like, whoa, rewind that back just a little. I felt like a CSI agent. I'm like, hang on, go back to 13 seconds real quick. And they show him picking up the water bottle.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, maybe it was a little slippery, but then I see the support of the other hand. I am dissecting this way too much, by the way.
Yeah,
and then
you
I
completely agree.
Right. And then I see him supporting it with the other hand. And I started to go down the rabbit hole of the comments. And it's like, Joe ain't right. This ain't 100% healthy Joe. And I'm thinking to myself, dude, if he's not right, and that locker room's a mess, and their wide receiver's calling their head coach by his first name with attitude and spice, it ain't good right now for Joe Burrow in the Cincinnati camp.
Well,
and you throw in what the Chiefs showed against what we think is the second best team in the AFC, the Baltimore Ravens, and I'm not going to say dominated, but they weren't ever in a situation that game, at least for me, where I was like, other than the last
other
drive,
than the last play,
where
yeah.
I'm like, I'm thinking to myself like, oh boy, and if he's not right, and this Chiefs team is the complete opposite, which they are right, not only can they beat Cincinnati, but if they handle Cincinnati and then they handle the Chargers, the irony on the table of trying to contend for what is the hardest thing to do, which is a three-peat, never been done before, this might be the most easiest cakewalk to a Super Bowl that this team has ever had, because you've beaten the best team in your division, which would be the Ravens. That is a fact. You handle business against Cincinnati, take them out of the equation, and then you're 1-0 in your division against the team that has the only shot in hell chance to take you down. Bob Mack, you're 3-0. You've beaten the Chargers, pretty important. You've beaten the Bengals, kind of important. And you've beaten the Ravens, really important. Where am I off my hinges here?
Well, I think you're off your hinges in a couple of things. Number one, I don't think San Diego is going to be any threat whatsoever to this team. So take them out of the equation, put them
Denver
out the pasture.
Denver and the Raiders are more of a threat.
No, none of those are threats at all. Okay. I mean,
somebody's got to be in the division.
I don't think so. No, I think the division is that bad. And it's okay to say that. I mean, this is the AFC East all over again, right? And we're not going to apologize because other teams can't figure out how to find a quarterback or a head coach, right? We're just not going to apologize for that. They are going to continue to wallow around and lay around and like on their back like a turtle and they can't get up, right? I'm great with that. I am glad this division has no competition whatsoever. I think it's awesome. The other thing you're off your rocker about is you needed to watch that video three times to see that Joe Burrow wrist. That thing is effed, man. Like that thing is
seriously
bad. Like, just watch him on the field. He's constantly like looking at it and playing with it and making a fist and all that stuff. And I saw that right away, and immediately my warp brain goes, get him to the ground, make him use that hand as a brace when you put him to the ground, and punish him. And you know, I know we're not supposed to talk about injuries and whatnot, but that goes through people's minds when they see those videos. How do you win a football game? You go out there and you play better than the competition, but there's other things that people look for in these games. And if you have an opportunity to exploit something, you go ahead and you do that. And so I'm going to be interested to see if there's a little chippiness with Joe Burrow, if people are going for that hand or how that's going to be. And the fact that he's more worried about his hand, it seemed like, than what was going on in that game is a great sign, because now he's focused on something else. Now he's focused on something that, you know, does have an impact on the game, but it's not making the right throws. It's not making the right reads. It's not doing the right things. It's, man, I don't know if my wrist is going to be there. And then he doubts himself. And then he's like, I can't make that throw. Got to pull that one back. And then Ja'Marr Chase gets mad that he doesn't get targeted deep because the quarterback can't throw a deep ball or hold a water bottle at this point in time. So I think you have the opportunity this weekend to keep a losing team, which they are. They're 0-1 and they lost to the Patriots. You keep a losing team losing. You put doubt in the mind of Cincinnati, you beat up their quarterback a little bit more, and you let that doubt start to seep in, and you let them basically take care of themselves and eliminate themselves from this postseason contention in week two. And then the Chargers in week three, that's an interesting game because, you know, you got to go to LA. It'll be a home game for the Chiefs out in Los Angeles. You're playing Harbaugh, you're playing Herbert, the media darlings out there. I'm not a fan of what they have to offer right now. I'm just not in on any team in this AFC West, and that's a great thing. I have no problem being out on all of these teams. The other interesting AFC West game, by the way, did you know Pittsburgh was going to Denver this weekend?
Poof.
Did you guys realize Pittsburgh going to Denver this weekend?
What's that mean?
Russell Wilson not going to play.
Well, he's already been told he's not the starter.
Yeah, he's not going to play.
Did you see Tomlin's Stern press conference yesterday? We ain't going to beat around it. We don't need to have any hypotheticals. Russell still ain't healthy, and Justin Fields is our starter.
I told you, this is a whole conspiracy. They were never going to start Russell Wilson. They created this, you know, a narrative. Give him the opportunity to be the starter. He doesn't do so good. Then we create an injury last minute, right before kickoff. he suits up with eye black because nobody gave him the script. And here we sit. But I think everybody would love to have seen Russell Wilson go back and play Denver and be that starting quarterback in week two. But he couldn't even make it to week one. And if Pittsburgh continues to win, which I expect them now to be 2-0 because they're playing Denver, there's no chance Russell Wilson comes back and becomes the starting quarterback in Pittsburgh. So you've got that going for you, which is nice. So this, you know, this is a good weekend, man. I'm excited about the Bengals. I hope he has
fresh
eye
haircut.
Black. I hope he's one of these guys that is so not self-aware. You ever met somebody who's just not self-aware about?
Well, stop hoping because he is.
Right?
I don't know what you're hoping.
No,
for.
I'm hoping like he tries to sign autographs for people and like nobody wants Russell Wilson's autograph. Like he tries to go back like a conquering hero. Like I'm going back to where I used to play. Broncos country. Here I am. And they're like throwing eggs at him and like rotten potatoes and things like that.
I don't want
like,
that to happen.
I think that would be hysterical.
I think it
would
be funny if a kid like put his like self-portrait to get it signed and then just like ripped it up and never broke eye contact.
Mr. Wilson, will you sign this picture with you? Of course I will. And then looking right in the eye and just...
You were terrible.
Idiot.
But it's amazing. Denver still hasn't figured out their quarterback.
Nah.
Oakland hasn't figured
Denver
out their quarterback.
Denver's rolling with Bo.
They're going to roll with Bo, but did they figure it out? We'll see. We'll see at the end of the season. I think he's going to be better than he showed that. No quarterback, by the way, rookie-wise, was good in week one. It was a miserable batch for these young guys. But, you know, September football, people are already complaining about it. This is the narrative every year. September football's bad. We need more preseason. But when we're in the preseason, everybody says we don't need preseason. Let's just get to the regular season. Kirk Herbstreit was out there opining yesterday. Mm-hmm. Peter King was opining about it yesterday. Too few preseason games. Not good enough tune-up, and September football suffers because of it. Or maybe guys just aren't as good, and we're comparing everybody in the world to Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs.
Mm. The old emergency quarterback and Russell Wilson. Don't forget, you can go over to 96.5 The Fan or The Fan 96.5 on X and participate in our poll question, which would be, would you be okay if college football and the NFL had games at 8 o'clock and at 9:30?
Yeah.
I did have my buddy Kevin reach out. He was like, I don't know, man. That would kind of kill the tailgate crowd. I said, easy, though. The Chiefs would never be in that time slot. That's not a prime
unless
time
slot.
Unless
they're playing in Germany, as
which,
we know.
That'll happen once every other year. We know that. But, I mean, other than that, I mean, like,
twice
you're going to get Jacksonville and Atlanta at 8 o'clock or 9:30. You're going to get, like, the Rams and the Seahawks, which is fine.
Or Dusty, unless some streaming service comes in and offers billions of dollars, and the only way they're going to do it is if they can play the Chiefs games at 8 o'clock in the morning, too. Because that, you know, they would sell that as a separate package, and Amazon or whoever would say, yeah, we'll do that, but we're only doing it if it's the Chiefs. So you know we'd have some stupid 8 a.m. game. When would you start your tailgate? The night before?
I can tell you, when they did the Miami game last year in Germany, I had everybody over, and this is why I love my Blackstone. I did breakfast.
No, I'm talking about at the stadium. Like, if we played an 8 a.m. game Arrowhead on a Sunday.
I would do breakfast burritos, and I would prep everything the night before, and I would just take, like, the little grill, their little, like, small little, like...
So you wouldn't go, like, all-out tailgate? Like, you wouldn't get there, like, because
I mean,
if it's a noon game, people are getting there, like, 6 a.m.,
oh,
right?
I'd get there, like, 5 a.m.
You would?
Yeah.
It's 5 a.m. early enough, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, shoot, I get up every day at 4. So.
I know, but is that
I'm not every
enough?
Fan, though.
Because you see people are, like, parked already out at Arrowhead trying to get in the gates. Like people go out there like a long time in advance.
Right.
What time would the gates open for an 8 a.m. kickoff? Would it be at 4? 3:30, right? Like they open like, what, 4.5 hours before the game or something like that, right?
Although this week's Chiefs game is at a sweet time. I love me some 3:25 football. We will get into that game a little bit more because I have two players I think that are the most important on this game against Cincinnati. And no, they're not named Mahomes or Kelsey. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan. This is Fesco and Dusty, and it is your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back into 96.5 The Fan. This is a show we call Fesco and Dusty. It is a Wednesday. Executive producer Mac Murray here with you as well.
I'm already stunned and amazed on a Wednesday at 6:18 by our poll question. Unbelievable. We'll get into that a little bit later on. My goodness. Stunned.
Yeah, go to the Fan 965 on X. We have a poll question for you. Should the NCAA and the NFL offer 8 o'clock and 9:30 games every Saturday and Sunday morning? Yes or no? The power is in your fingers.
So far, 76% of people are saying no. Why would you vote no in that poll? if you don't like it, don't consume it, right? I mean, that's kind of how I feel. Like, they're getting ready to vote for gambling over there in Missouri in your neck of the woods. You
that's
see
right.
that, right?
Vote yes on it's what, two?
I have no idea.
Amendment two.
Is it? Okay, so.
Saw a commercial over last night. Lovely lady says, look, it helps out the teachers. I was like, listen to her.
Yeah, right, exactly. Help out the teachers.
I'm tired of driving at 5 o'clock in the evening.
So why, let me ask you this, why would you vote no on that? Like, if you don't like gambling, then don't do it. But don't prevent the state from making money and other people from having the ability to do it. We've legalized cigarettes, and they're a lot more dangerous than gambling ever was.
Okay. I think there's probably some differences there.
Booze, a lot more dangerous than gambling ever was.
Well,
nobody's gambling and driving.
I just want it so every time the Chiefs are behind, I can go straight to the money line and like alt spread it. And
oh, yeah. That's yeah. Yeah. You can make
how many times
that,
like
right?
have you been in like the last couple of years where gambling's been legal in Kansas?
Yeah.
And the Chiefs are down in the Super Bowl and you're like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take the Chiefs -3.
Oh, it's great for in-game betting to be Absolutely. Able to sit on your couch and just, you know, make your bets. So like if you don't like it, that's fine. I understand. I'm not here to tell you what you need to do and how you need to live your life. But there are a lot of people that like to gamble, like to have a little action on the game. So why are we preventing people from doing that? I can't fathom that. I can't wrap my hands around it. Why we're letting people, you know, with the voting machines or whatever it was that Alex was railing about, gambling machines in gas stations, prevent the state from having legalized sports gambling. So it makes no sense to me.
Those can be a sad sight.
I've very rarely seen them. I've seen them in one gas station in the metro right around 75th and Warnell. There's a great Greek restaurant inside a gas station. It's a Shell station right on 75th and Warnell, right behind where 3rd Street Social is now, right? Mm-hmm. Phenomenal Greek food. I've seen them in there, and I'm sure there's some like in Tightwad or someplace you're driving down to the lake and you see some gas station. I'm sure they're in places like that, but like you've seen them in like out in the wild, really?
Oh, yeah. There's one right by my house that has one, and it's sad.
People playing them?
Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with, like, people in their car waiting for them to come back.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Yeah, burning a dart inside the gas station, too,
can't
I'm sure.
That.
Oh, you
no,
can't?
Just,
oh,
no.
I just thought it was by, like, a slot machine you could smoke.
Yeah, I went in there to get a couple high lifes. This has been a while, but went in there to get a couple high lifes, and I just saw, like, windows down, kid in the back car.
No.
Oh, yeah. And I was like, oh, there's no one in the gas station except one guy. And I went in there, got the beer, and I like looked around. I was like, oh, no, I hear shit like, ding, 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 ding. And I was like, oh, no.
See, isn't that more dangerous than having somebody make a bet from their couch or leaving their kids in the car to play a penny slot?
Yeah, it's bad. It's just sad to see. But what's also sad to see is your team just dominate and other people be mad about it. Shout out to Drew Nixon, Chris Jones, and George Karlaftis, both with 6 pressures in week one. That was third most in the NFL, according to the 33rd team players that generated the most pressures in week one. Karlaftis,
6 sounds like a freaking lot, man. Yeah, that means a big number.
That means they're on pace for whatever 6 times 17
That's
is.
That's right.
Shout out yesterday's texter. 913-586-7965. Jay Southland Toast Service text line is the number.
Micah Parsons with 9 pressures in week one. My God, that seems like a really big number, too. Like,
trying to get some coin there, man. Whew. Trying to get that paycheck, which he will eventually.
Yeah, TJ Watt wasn't on this list, but he was still the best defensive player on Sunday.
Right, like by far the best defensive player.
Because like, what, 2 didn't count, and one of those was like a sack strip fumble recovery.
Exactly.
Right. Just the triple crown of like a play.
And that one didn't count, right?
The sack.
Because he was offsides.
Or was he?
He was not.
Yeah. Like Chris Jones, when he got called for offsides, clearly offsides.
Right.
TJ Watt might have just been the ref, would have been like, it's like the umpire that like stutters on a strikeout call, like strike.
Yeah, right.
But no, Karlaftis and Chris Jones, in my opinion, fellas, in this game will have the most impact of any 2 players on the field, and that is including a Kelce and Mahomes combo, a Mahomes and Rashee Rice combo. I just think that since they got Karlaftis, the Cincinnati Bengals have been not really the biggest threat they've been, because we talked about this and we talk about it all the time, how Brett Veach seems to be, you know, constantly 2 steps ahead of everybody else, or playing chess while everybody else plays checkers. And you remember when they sacked Burrow 4 times in the first quarter or the first half, whatever it was, in that playoff game, and Karlaftis was counting on his fingers like he was Mahomes.
Yeah.
And before that, they had never been able to really kind of frustrate Burrow because, 1, he was healthy, and 2, they just couldn't get any pressure.
And now, that guy never showed any frustration whatsoever. Like, even if you got to him, that guy would be like, oh, okay, no big deal.
And with those 2 guys and their impact, like we watched last week, Chris Jones against the offensive line of the Ravens, which is subpar, mid-par, whatever you want to call it, still was able to be disruptive.
Ronnie Stanley just false started again.
Right. When you have 95 and Karlaftis, coming at you nonstop with a bearing of an injury of your wrist and some nervousness of, you know, trying to develop the play. Now, they're going to prep for it. They're going to do their thing. They're going to have their scout teams, but you can't really scout for two guys that could be all pros this year. One will be in Chris Jones. Karlaftis, we all think, is going to be on the come this year when it comes to production, sack numbers, and just continues to elevate his career year in and year out that he's been in this league at such a young age. But the disruption that those guys can cause with this defense and that secondary and those linebackers that are quick, it starts with that defensive line and it starts with those two. And if they can be disrupted to Burrow and they can really pin down and just really knock up the disruption of that offensive line, who has your boy, Mac, Orlando Brown Jr.
Coming back.
And nice play there. That's chemistry, boys. And when you put all that into the fix, Mahomes and Pacheco can just literally run the clock out against one of the worst teams against the run, and that defense can really hone in and settle down on Burrow. Could be a long day at the yard for the boys in orange.
Well, I think if you're going to win this game, which they are, it's not going to be because you went out there and put up 47 points, which they will. It's going to be because you shut down Joe Burrow, and that's going to be the narrative of the game. The narrative of the game coming out on Sunday night when this thing goes to NBC and they do their terrible pregame show, they're going to be talking about, oh my God, the Chiefs went out there and put on a defensive display against Joe Burrow and company, and the rest of the NFL now needs to be on watch. They basically broke the Cincinnati Bengals. This is going to be one of those games where you break the opposition and they never recover. And I think that's kind of where it's headed now for Cincinnati. George Karlaftis, to me, may be one of the most unheralded players in all of the NFL. Like, because he plays next to Chris Jones, because he plays with Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Andy Reid, Brett Veach, and all of these guys that are more household names than him, Chris Jones may be the most underrated, undervalued player in the NFL today. And you look at his numbers and what he does, double-digit sacks a year ago, 6 pressures already, as we talked about, in his first game, along with Chris Jones. Like, George Karlaftis is legit. He's the guy you better be worried about, because if you allow him to get these one-on-one matchups, especially on the other side,
Orlando Brown, Easy Money University,
he's going to eat those guys for lunch, and he's going to make Joe Burrow look foolish back there, because there's not enough weapons now, not enough healthy weapons for Joe Burrow to have the ability just to kind of sit back there and wait for these guys to get open. You can take Jamar Chase out of this game very easily. Just put Trent McDuffie on him, game over. There's nobody on the other side that you need to worry about. So if you want to give Trent McDuffie a little help with Jamar Chase, go ahead and do that. They don't have Joe Mixon anymore. They can't run the football. Their offensive line isn't all that great, and their quarterback's got a bum wrist. And so I think if you really want to rattle this guy early, you go all out. Spags brings the pressure early. Knock this guy into the turf. Bust up his wrist a little bit. Make him constantly think about that wrist and shake that wrist and make him focus on things that aren't involving the game. And the Kansas City Chiefs are going to, I think they're going to roll in this one, man. I don't know that Cincinnati's going to be able to keep this thing close with the way that this team has hummed in the first game and with the mindset that they have to go out there and destroy everybody. And the Bengals have been one of the biggest thorns in their side, allegedly, for the last couple of years.
I mean, the spread on this game is 6 for the Chiefs.
Is it 6 now?
That's the biggest 6 it's been in this tenured of a matchup with Burrow and the Bengals.
I think it bumped up to like 6.5 for a hot minute the other day, and I think you said you saw it at 13 last night. but I think a 6-point spread in the NFL is a big number. There was somebody on the text line yesterday.
It's huge. With these two teams in the past,
right? It's a massive number. Mm. And there was somebody on the text line yesterday who's like, "Wow, the Chiefs only won by 7." And I'm like, "Do you understand what a win by 7 is this day and age in the NFL?
Blowout.
Like, that's a blowout. That is, look at the spreads going into all of these games. 3.5, 3, 4.5, 2.5, 3, 6. Like, that shows you how evenly matched this league is. And the fact that the Chiefs are a 6-point favorite against the team that is supposed to be one of their rivals, one of their equals, one of the teams that's going to challenge them, that should tell everybody, oh my God, the Kansas City Chiefs are really legit. Like, Vegas is putting these guys up by a touchdown in this game against the Cincinnati Bengals. This isn't a game against the Patriots or the Carolina Panthers or the Giants where you're favored by 6 points. This is against a team that everybody believes is still one of the quote-unquote contenders for the AFC crown, and they think they can beat the Chiefs, and Vegas is going, yeah, the Chiefs are a touchdown better in week 2 than what the Cincinnati Bengals have to offer. That's a huge spread, and that's a huge vote of confidence if you're a Chiefs fan today.
We brought up George Karlaftis. We brought up Chris Jones. Number 98, Tershawn Wharton had a hell of a night.
He's
on
a nice
Thursday.
Player, yeah. Very nice player.
Now,
yeah.
This is the classic year after the year after the injury case. You know, 2 years ago got hurt. Last year kind of seemed a little bit like a shell of himself, wasn't playing as much. And then last night or Thursday night just came guns ablaze. And if he's a real guy this year, a starting defensive lineman above average, I mean, this D-line's going to be insane. I mean, we've been talking, Bob, I know you've heard me say all summer, no quarterback, no pitcher has ever had this Joe Burry wrist injury. You deal with the pain, even if you can throw through it fine. But yeah, what happens when Chris Jones comes and bench presses you on the turf in the first quarter and you're dealing with
like
that pain?
Even if it's not an intentional type one.
Of course not.
You put him to the ground. I mean, we've all fallen, right? You put your hand down, you try to brace yourself a little bit. He puts that right hand down to try to brace himself. I mean, I can't imagine. Ooh. I'm thinking about the severity of the pain right now. Mm-hmm. And you can just kind of feel it shoot up your arm, into your shoulder, into your neck, down your back, down your spine. Right? Like, you can feel that pain. Could you imagine a 300-pound man driving you into turf on a Sunday afternoon and you go down to try to brace yourself and feel that pain? It's going to be a painful afternoon for Joe Burrow. And I'm not sitting here wishing injury or anything like that. I'm just telling you, like, that's going to be painful for him. And I think it's going to be one of those injuries that, A, nags him all season long, B, he's never able to fully recover from, and C, at the end of the year, we're going to hear about how Joe Burrow battled all year through pain. And we're all going to praise him at the end of the year. We're going to be like, my God, look what he did. They won 10 games or whatever it is, and this guy battled through pain all year long. But, I mean, I think this is going to be a topic of discussion in the NFL for the entire season, because this thing is not going to get better. Every hit he takes is going to make it worse, and he couldn't hold the water bottle after week one.
Picking it up like a dumbbell.
It was a little skeptical as I watched it three times. I've now seen that video, Game of Thrones, and Breaking Bad all the same amount of time, three times.
Three times.
That's right. Again, don't forget, weekly polls up on the Fan 965 on X. Should the NFL and college have games that start at 8?
Yes.
9:30.
Why not?
The reason we bring it up, Matt Rhule had this to say about it.
It's up to me. We play at 9 o'clock in the morning. You know, kegs and eggs and football. Let's go.
No doubt about
it. No doubt. I loved in college like those 11 a.m. games, and you could start to tailgate really early.
Yeah,
right?
Mizzou plays this weekend. I think 11:45. Solid time.
Like, nice. I think it's a great time for college. You get there, you tailgate early, you go into the game, and then you still go out at night. And like, it's the best of both worlds. That game's over by 3:30. You get back, you know, you have a couple of shower beers, you shower up, you go out, you get ready to hit the town, you have a great night. Like,
Different strategy.
A perfect time.
You go back and crush some food again, take a little nap, and then you're ready to go by 7 o'clock, take a little liquid IV, and you're ready to roll.
That for me, just if I go down, I'm going down, man. That's it. I'm done for the night. Yeah, I am done for the night. So
man.
I got to keep it rolling.
See, that's why you just, you know. Kegs and eggs.
It's up to me. We play at 9 o'clock in the morning. You know, kegs and eggs and football. Let's go.
I'm in. Like, that's a great idea. There's nothing better, in my opinion, and you mentioned the Blackstone earlier, but rolling that out, like, if you could do breakfast at tailgates, right?
No doubt.
That's the best way to go. You get your eggs, you get your bacon, the smell of that bacon cooking. You have maybe a Bloody Mary or two, maybe a couple of shots of whiskey or Fireball. You roll into that game, you're feeling good. You go in, you watch a noon game, your team wins. Boom, you go home, shower, beers, go out, and let's get this thing on, and then pizza shuttle, twofer, baby. Let's finish the night.
Cocked and ready to rock.
That's right.
Yeah, I'd be more the mimosa guy than I would be the Bloody Marys. I don't want that hot, but I have to take them Tums to the tailgate. But no, I look, in all seriousness, I know there's people out there that are indifferent because people have activities they do on Sunday morning, whether that be church or whether that be sporting games or your kids are out, you're, you know, not a morning person, you just really enjoy getting up at 10 on a Sunday, whatever it may be. Here's the deal. Bob kind of alluded to this as well. You don't necessarily have to watch it. You're not handcuffed to watch the game.
No, not at all.
The other thing I think it would do is that it would set up the day to where you're not, one, fully loaded from noon to 3, where there's just so much going on. For those of you that are football nerds like myself and Mac that like to get up and immediately, it makes it so much sweeter. And again, I'm being selfish here because this is what I want.
You're starting to get it now. Yeah, you've been doing this, what, 6 weeks?
That's
and
right.
You start to realize 8 a.m. games are pretty good.
And I've always liked it as, you know, I passed the torch to Mac to do fantasy, and I was telling him before the show, I was like, it's awesome, actually, when you have a 9 a.m. game that starts, because you can have, you know, your fantasy lineup starts. If you're a football geek, a lot of us will still watch because we see those numbers where it's like, you wouldn't believe that the Arizona Cardinals and the Seattle Seahawks, who played at
8 a.m. on Sunday pulled this rating. Like, it would just show that it would. But the other thing, too, is that, you know, even with college, you know, 8 a.m. game, and somebody said on the text line, players would be sluggish. They wouldn't. They would prepare for the game.
Yeah,
that they
would be fine. Yeah.
Like, players are sluggish on Thursday Night Football because they have a shorter week to rest for it. So it's like, you know, apples and oranges. But to start the Sunday early, and maybe you don't do it every week, but even if you did it for half the season at the start of the season, I think would be surprising to most that you would see numbers produce that even if it is two dud teams, you would still see the numbers show that people will get up and watch football. And again, like I said, you have activities that you do on Sunday morning, sure. And they never want to, you know, maybe they say that, but here's the other secret.
There's no rules anymore with the NFL. They've taken over everything.
I was gonna say, the NFL doesn't care.
No.
Because they put games on Christmas Day at noon.
Right.
They know people are going to show up. They know the workers are going to show up, which it sounds rude, but I'm just giving you the reality of the medicine, which is they don't care about your schedule. You don't have to care about theirs is the other thing.
That's exactly right. There were so many people with the Christmas Day game last year that were upset that the game was on Christmas Day.
And I totally agree with some of those. Some of those people have to work and they have to be at the game and they're handcuffed to it.
Absolutely. So, but, you know, again, if you're upset because the game was on and you don't have to watch. If it upsets you that much, hit record and watch it or just leave it halftime like most of us did because that game was terrible.
Think about it, the Chiefs do play. If we want to take the you know, the suburban dad indication, say the Chiefs do play at 8 a.m. That game's over 12,
right?
And you know, you can go pumpkin picking at 12:30.
Absolutely.
You could do the yard work, do whatever you have to do,
put your plaid on, go get a picture in front of the hay bale. Like, you've got it, man.
Right.
Go to a corn maze.
Somebody says, I'd love to tailgate at Arrowhead at 3:30 in the morning.
I think it would be great. Dope. I really do. Like, I think it would be one of the coolest things ever if you had the opportunity for an 8 a.m. game at Arrowhead. The parking gates opened at 3:30, and because you know what the crowd would be like. Everybody would be there for that experience. And the older that I get, and I don't know if you guys are at this level yet where you are in life and whatnot. For me, it's about having the experience, having the story, and having the memory, right? And for me, if you were to tell me, hey, we got a game at Arrowhead this Sunday at 8 a.m., parking gates open at 3:30, Ralph says we're meeting the bus at, you know, 2 so we can get in line, I'm all in on that. We'd all be like zombies, you know, at the beginning because 2 a.m. is still 2 a.m. even when we get up, right? It's like, oh, my God. But we'd all be zombies, but that first cocktail would kick in. The adrenaline would be flowing. I think it would be one of the coolest experiences so that you could have would be that parking gate opening at 3:30 in the morning and everybody's streaming in and everybody's doing breakfast and having cocktails. Like, I think it would be the greatest atmosphere you could have because everybody there would be embracing it, right, and loving it up. And again, if you don't like it, it's not in your, that's fine. You don't have to do that. But I'd rather do an 8 a.m. game than a 7:20 at night game.
Right. And then someone says, as a home consumer, I would love it. Game's done before the day gets going.
Absolutely. And that's the other thing. What if you're a college fan and your team plays at 9 a.m.? As Dusty mentioned, as the suburban dad, you got the rest of the day to do whatever it is that you want. Now, you can't get out of the honeydews. I mean, you still have to go stand in front of that hay bale in a bad plaid shirt, get your picture taken, because you can't tell your wife the game's on.
Right.
But it gives you the opportunity to do what you need to do that day. You got your yard work, whatever it is. Like, I think unique, new, different things. I used to be opposed to some of this kind of stuff because, you know, oh, I got to be a traditionalist. All out the window. Let's do what would be cool for the fans. And tailgating at 3:30 in the morning at Arrowhead, by God, let's go.
DraftKings, as the text comes in from 816, says Chiefs line is now 5.5. I'm staring at DraftKings as we speak. It says Chiefs -6, -250 on the money line in the over-under at 47.5. I would take the under, and I would take the Chiefs -6 if I took that spread right now. Game starts at 6 a.m. on the West Coast. Never going to happen. Again, they don't care about what coast.
They don't care. Like, stop trying to use logic as to why things won't happen in the NFL. They're playing games in Europe. They're playing games in Brazil, where if you wore green, you were like a danger.
And something we play at 9 o'clock in the morning, you know, kegs and eggs and football. Let's go.
They had two teams in green in Brazil. They are playing on Christmas Day. They're playing on Thanksgiving. They're playing on Black Friday. When will you understand the NFL does not care about anybody else's schedule? If somebody's going to write a check, which they would for an 8 a.m. game, the NFL is selling it to them.
And if people are going to watch, which they always
will.
They always have.
Yes.
And on FanDuel, I'm seeing here, Dusty, and that was DraftKings still 6. FanDuel, it has gone down a half point, 5.5 for the Chiefs.
From 808, it's awesome being from Hawaii. Morning games are at 8. Second games are at noon, and the last game is at 3. We have the rest of our day to do whatever we need. It's amazing. You guys should really push for it.
I'm all for it. I agree. And the games would start like the night before in Hawaii, which would be outstanding. Be everybody says the West Coast is the best time zone for football.
It was the best when I lived there. It was the best. Like games at 10,
Sunday night football. Like you could go out to dinner after Sunday night football. Like
no doubt about it.
I mean, that is really wild. But yeah, I mean, I don't get it. Like, I love it. I think the more opportunities we have in different windows to do different things that are fun, that may create a memory, let's go.
Cover 2 or cover 3, that's what we'll ask Jay Binkley, who joins us on the other side of this commercial break. Don't forget, you are listening to Fesco and Dusty as well as Mac Morey on this show we call Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. It is your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. It is a Wednesday, which means it is a weekly poll day. The poll is at The Fan 965 on X. Should the NFL and college have games that start at 8 a.m. and 9:30 a.m. every single week?
Imagine a game in the first quarter in November and the sun's just starting to come up over Arrowhead Stadium.
Deep thoughts with Jack Handy.
Oh, man, how cool would that be?
Speaking of deep thoughts, we get some deep thoughts coming up now because it is our guy, Mr. Jay Binkley, joining our show on Fesco and Dusty on Wednesday.
That dude was high on something.
He was high on college football. College football with Binkley. Let's throw in a Sean Thompson ball with Binkley. Knows college football better than his own family. College football, Jay Binkley. Got to chawing, wearing them short, track style shorts.
I heard he almost played football in Nebraska.
He used to call Bobby Bowden and ask for football informational nuggets with barbecue sauce. Jay knows more about high school football than you know about your family. B-Dub.
Call Jay Binkley.
Call Bink. College football with Binkley. Let's throw in a Charles Johnson ball with Binkley. Knows college football better than his own family. College football with Binkley.
That is the sweet sounds of Mr. Brock, as that is the vocals of the old number fives. Good guys. Speaking of good guys, we get into Jay Binkley, who joins us now. Mr. Binkley, how are you on this wonderful Wednesday morning?
What's going on, fellas? A little bit closer to football, so Wednesdays. I like Wednesdays, man. Wednesdays are great.
Yeah.
You know, you're getting set for the weekend. You get all your plans, what games you're going to be watching. You start putting things down. I like it.
It's also hump day.
That's right, Bob. That's right.
Yep.
Binkley, let me ask you a question real quick. Would you be opposed to the NFL and college starting football games at 8 and 9:30 in the morning?
Hell no, I'd absolutely love it. I just don't know if the players would like it. I think the players doesn't care about the players, you know?
Jay. They don't care about the players.
I would love it. I mean, I would love waking up and watching those games. I mean, that would be awesome, but I just don't know about the players getting there so early. If the performance, you know, getting there, a lot of them get there, you know, 3 and 4 hours before the game. Personally, though, love it.
Yeah, I think it'd be great. They do it in Germany and in London when they play those games. Their body clocks, for the most part, are still on the United States time. So, you know, the NFL has shown they don't care what the players think. If somebody's going to write a check, they're going to play those games on the moon.
Well, the thing is, you do practice that early anyway.
Yeah, you do.
Training camp, a lot of, well, I mean, I know some teams play and practice in the afternoon, but you know, the Chiefs have a lot of, you know, morning practices.
Yeah, get that stuff out of the way early so you can be on with life. All right, so Dusty and I have been rooting for this Deion Sanders thing to really, you know, grab hold and be good out of Colorado so far. We're kind of looking going, okay, it's been a lot of, like, fun off-the-field stuff, but on the field they're not very good. What is going on in your mind with Colorado right now?
You know, I always like watching them play. I'm more curious than anything, but I think now it's kind of like watching that car wreck when you're driving on the highway. I just don't like the whole temperament, the way that I thought they'd be better, because I thought Deion Sanders was a better coach than he was at Jackson State. What's really the interest? Getting Shadur drafted to a certain team or Travis Hunter? But Shadur really said some things and has done some things. I'm sitting there going, man, if Star Character Concerns podcast, we talked about that because that's something teams look for in the NFL. But when you're kind of blaming your offensive line, you're more self-centered. Guys start to tune you out, and I think a lot of times Deion at some point is going to lose that locker room. He's already had a ton of guys transfer out there. I'll watch Colorado. I like watching because I like watching Travis Hunter. I think the guy's a phenomenal player. But, you know, they're starting to rub me the wrong way, you know, with Shadur. And I guarantee you the NFL teams are taking a look at that too, because the NFL, you got to be like Mahomes. You got to be where the players on your team want to rally behind you and do something. And I don't see that at Colorado. I mean, Colorado spanked Nebraska last year, 36-14. That did not even look even remotely like that team that played Nebraska last year. Colorado's got some major issues.
Jay, those Wildcats in Manhattan had a little bit of a scare this week, last week against Tulane. Just a hiccup early in the season, or what needs to be fixed out in K-State country?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is a concern because of that defense. I was surprised that a redshirt freshman quarterback, Darian Minza, threw for 342 yards on him. They also had a running back go for 128. I think that's the biggest concern. But again, these are early season games, so these things are going to happen. But Tulane is no joke. I mean, we're talking about a team that made a New Year's Six bowl game a couple years ago. Talking about a team that brought in Troy's head coach that won 24 games the last 2 years. I mean, there's no mystery why Tulane is a good football team. Willie Fritz had that team built up great before he bolted off to Houston. But still, Tulane's a good team. That was a good test for Kansas State. I'd get more concerned about their defense and the way they played. Like Avery Johnson and that offense, I believe, is going to be fine. DJ Giddens, a freaking stud. I mean, they have one of the top five running backs in the country. You sprinkle in Dylan Edwards more and more with them. I think it was a good wake-up call, but Tulane is nowhere near as bad as people think. That was a real tough game for Kansas State to go down to New Orleans and play that game. But give them credit for winning it, but that secondary, you know, giving up 342 passing yards, because this week they're playing Noah Fifita, the quarterback at Arizona.
That's right.
A very good quarterback. And Teterol McMillan, which is the best receiver in the country, if you want to argue that, or Luther Burden. But they have a receiver. Teterol McMillan had over 300 yards receiving his first game this year. So if you're going to struggle against the passing game of Tulane, watch out for Arizona.
You can't stop the Teterol McMillan now.
Those are like 95 like points on Scrabble if you play those.
Teterol McMillan. That's a hell of a name right there.
Well, Teterol, he'll probably be the top one or two receiver taken in the draft this year.
All right. Well, we'll see about that. That'd be cool if he's right here in Kansas City. Chiefs will trade up for him. Chiefs will trade up for him, you think? From 32?
That would be awful difficult.
Only if the Bills are there, they'll get that.
Yeah, that's true. If the Bills are picking one this year, which is very possible, the Chiefs could trade up to one and get Teterol McMillan. Mark it down.
Teterola McMillan.
Teterola McMillan. Sorry, Dusty.
Your homework.
Missouri is the first FBS team since 2019 to start with two straight shutouts. Is that opponent-based, or is that something that Missouri fans should start getting excited about?
I think they start getting excited about it because everybody's really excited about this offense and what it can do. And, you know, they lose their defensive coordinator that goes off to LSU this year, that good defense in Missouri. Well, you lose that guy that goes to LSU, but then all of a sudden you start off with two straight shutouts. Yeah, competition's part of it. I mean, Buffalo has not been a good team since Lance Leipold left that team. They weren't good last year. They play an FCS team in week one, but still, I mean, even when you're playing bad teams in college football do score. I mean, we see all these good FBS teams. Like, FCS teams will score. I mean, Alabama gives up points to FCS teams all the time. So I think it's good for the confidence of Missouri. But you put that dynamic offense that they have, and Missouri's poised really well. If this defense can play as well as we – now, it's not going to play this good all year. We know that. But because they haven't played – like, this week against Boston College will be a real test for them. Because Bill O'Brien has that team good. Matter of fact, Kansas State and Missouri, there's only two games in college football that have both teams are ranked. Missouri's in one of them.
Yeah, Kansas State and Missouri, as you mentioned, both facing ranked teams this weekend. And, yeah, all of a sudden, if you didn't know, Bill O'Brien's the head coach at Boston College. That happened, like, late in the process. And so, you're right, he is doing a nice job up there. But Doug Flutie's not walking through that door. Daniels over there in Lawrence, that loss by Kansas, that's like, they better be gobbling humble pie like it's nobody's business over there in Lawrence, Kansas.
Yeah, it's got to be concerning because the whole Kansas season was going to go how Daniels was. He just hasn't looked the same. I mean, all the interceptions that he had in Illinois. That Illinois, listen, that's a, you know, it's a Big Ten game. I get it. They sold out their stadium. They had the retro helmets at Illinois and
huge.
All that. But still, that defense has lost so many people the last couple of years in the draft. It's nowhere near as good a defense as what Illinois had in the past. And, you know, it's going to be a real test this week against UNLV. I know that sounds funny, but UNLV won 9 games last year. Barry Odom was Mountain West Coach of the Year. I will say this, Kansas did beat UNLV in a bowl game last year, but still, it's a team with a lot of confidence. It's a team that's 2-0, but I think Kansas really wants to see that Jalen Daniels from a year ago. Devin Neal, the running back, he's got back-to-back 100-yard rushing games, so he's fine. Melo Donson and Kobe Bryant, the best corners in the Big 12, in my opinion, both playing for Kansas. But still, they need Daniels to revert to that form that he's had in the past. But we're talking about a guy that really hadn't put a full season together either.
Pinkley, Bob and I were having a discussion as we get you out of here on this one. What's the better defense, the cover 2 or the cover 3?
I would go cover 3 because it stops more of your vertical routes. The cover 2, the Chiefs just destroy that Tampa 2.
Love to hear.
I want three deep defenders, not two.
You got action tonight, or are you still watching other
stuff?
There's
no action tonight. We got to wait on that. Oh, man, Mac needs his own action segment.
I like that.
He doesn't, though, but thanks for the offer. Yeah, thank you.
Hey, Beagle, have a good rest of your Wednesday, man. Put a chaw in your mouth and use those little, you know, short shorts and enjoy the games.
That's right, guys. You guys take care, man.
All right. He'll be breaking down McNeese State film as he goes back to whatever he was doing before he talked to us.
Better do your damn homework, Bob, on those receivers in the nation.
Well, I got to start looking at those guys. Hey, we may not need a receiver, though, this year. We got Xavier Worthy. We got Rashee Rice. Hollywood Brown. I got a little bit of an update on him we can get to.
We don't have Aaron Judge either, but the nerds will tell you why you don't need him on the other side. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
I am Dusty Likens.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.